How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're
Good,
good.
thanks. So should we just start with the first couple questions? It would just be like a very casual conversation. We just have some questions about the work that you guys are doing at the Anxious Generation and your thoughts on some things relating to our campaign.
Sure. Happy to answer questions. Yeah, thanks for all the work you guys are doing.
Yeah,
Okay,
thank you.
perfect. So we'll get started off with our first question. So what got you into this line of work?
I was a programmer when I first graduated from college. I was kind of I found the things I was programming to be somewhat meaningless. It was like keeping track of like which person at a company had which phone line. So eventually, I figured, I could support myself, but I want to do something more meaningful. I went and got a degree in social psychology. That's when I actually started working with John Haidt. We actually worked together on a book called The Righteous Mind and the research underlying that, really around polarization. And then I actually started working at I worked at I was actually got recruited to work at Meta on polarization.
Oh,
Time there. So I started working doing this work on polarization and Meta. I ended up working on all sorts of problems regarding like the impact of social media on
wow.
society. And that was at the same time John was like starting to get interested in social media. So I witnessed firsthand a lot of the issues that can happen when a system is designed poorly. And at the same time John wrote this book, The Anxious Generation. And so like I left Meta about it 2 years ago. I've been really advocating for how we design these platforms better, including the algorithms. I used to work in the news feed team. And so I do think like algorithms are a powerful force, both for good and bad. And so the last couple of years, John, recently released his book. And so it was sort of natural for us to get back together and work together.
Well, that's
That's
awesome.
really interesting. You're like basically an inside man who decided to work outside. Yeah.
Yeah, so on that sort of topic, of the algorithms, we were wondering how like different social media algorithms promote the unhealthy use of social media, because in our research had shown that like the companies promote the unhealthy use through the design of their platforms.
I mean, I'd say there are two main ways that algorithms promote unhealthy use. And so, like, one is it just algorithms are designed to get you to use the product more. And oftentimes that pulls you away from other things you should be doing or you want to do, right? And so, like, I often use this analogy of like donuts versus kale or healthy food. I mean, I'm guilty of like watching too much TV or, eating unhealthy food, like all sorts of things I do. Like I have three kids. Sometimes I'm on my phone instead of like playing with them. I do all these things that I don't want to do, right? And these algorithms sort of help me do these things I don't want to do. It doesn't really help me with my aspirational self. Aspirationally, I would love to be outside more. I would love to be reading more educational content. And so the algorithms often sort of supplant these other things you would be doing in favor of like this sort of, potato chip, unhealthy food kind of behavior. Second thing algorithms do often is they incentivize attention getting behavior. So a lot of political parties, for example, say that they produce more divisive content because of algorithms, right? So it's what does well in the algorithm. A lot of creators produce more sexual content or more daring content because of algorithms that that's what they have to do to get attention and to make a living. And so when you live in a world where everyone's trying to get attention, you have a lot of negative kinds of content that people are getting, negative kinds of messages, negative kinds of incentives, right? Like you start to get the idea that like this is the way you get attention, by being more dangerous, by being more daring, by being more divisive or controversial or sexually revealing than you actually want to be. So we're not being ourselves, we're kind of being sort of incentivized to be our worst selves, and then we're sort of reinforcing that message with each other. So I'd say those are the two big ways that algorithms are harmful.
Yeah, I think as students, even we noticed that a lot of social media algorithms would reward people for kind of bad behavior online. So that's really interesting to hear from. What are some solutions that social media platforms could implement to reduce the negative impact on society and mental health that you have?
Yeah, so I mean, social media. And so one thing I did actually when we worked at Meta was like we would take some amount of the engagement optimization and we would try to replace it with surveys and or your more aspirational stuff. So instead of optimizing for like the comment that gets the most likes or replies, what if instead we optimized for the comment that people thought was higher quality? We can actually survey people like, what is a higher quality comment? Or you could actually put like that in the user interface, like something to say, Not that I like it, but maybe I found that informative. Or even, things that people love tend to be better than things that just people reply to, for example, right? Because a love is like an indication. I actually think that's a good piece of content versus a reply. You can reply to something just because it, you think it's controversial or terrible. It just means you paid attention to it. So the more you can take an algorithm and have it optimized for like our aspirational selves, what we explicitly want, as opposed to what we pay attention to. So not optimizing for view time or replies, but instead optimized for like surveys or even something like, like a love reaction or like Reddit has like an up and a down vote, right? So it's like a more like your explicit judgment of a thing as opposed to your I paid attention to a thing.
That's really interesting. But like circling back to the topic that you were talking about before, where it sort of rewards dangerous or toxic behavior, what are some like real world impacts that are resulting from this that we have seen?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the simplest ones is, kids are sleeping less, right? So like, yeah, like half of kids will say that like I sleep less, and a lot of kids will play, they're not sleeping enough, and they're blaming social media. Like, a lot of people are getting notifications at night. It's hard to resist like one more TikTok video before you go to bed, and you feel kind of wound up, right? You're not. It's not like a calming thing, right? So like, there's a lot of like impacts on, mental health or things that we know are related to mental health, like getting enough sleep. And then, then there's also the exposure to content that you're not ready for, right? So the average age pornography exposure, the one study recently was like age 12, right? And so these are, a lot of times people think of like pornography as like something that, it's like an older person, older child, like looking for it. Whereas a lot of these algorithms can like surface sexual content to like p kids who are not really ready for it. They're not asking for it. A lot of it's unwanted, right? Like they're seeing it by accident. And so seeing things you're not ready for, that you're not asking for, I think is another sort of concrete consequence.
So there's so much that we should be concerned of for kids who are online more than ever now. What do you think are some concerns parents should be more aware of when it comes to their social media usage that might not be super like obvious?
I think parents are never going to be able to keep up with all the platforms and all. So, I mean, I think I have three kids myself. Like, I just know I'm, and I, I do this for a living, but I know I cannot manage, I can't have my kid on, Instagram and figure out all the controls, figure out like every new app that they could be using. So, I think really just keeping kids off of these things until they really need to be on them. And there's also, it's hard because, you don't want to isolate your children as well. So I'd say that parents also have to work with other parents to, like at least I don't know what it's like at your school, but like my kids are not that eager to be on these products, but they don't want to be left out. They don't want to be like the kid who's
Definitely.
not on these products. So the more you can get other parents and other and create like a norm in your school or in your community where you don't feel left out, like none of us, a lot of kids don't really want these products to begin with. So like some way that we can, we don't feel pressure. Like if you want to be on it, great, or maybe not great, but like at least, that's a reasonable, that's your choice. But you don't feel this pressure that you have to be on it if you can sort of work with other parents in your community, work with your school, and try not to try to make it like an individual choice versus something you have to do in order to feel like you fit in.
What do you think that I mean, of course, it's one thing is parents right now who have younger kids making changes in the way that their kids use social media or preventing them from using social media. But like our generation or the people a little bit older or a little bit younger than us have sort of been raised on this kind of technology. What do you think that this will mean for this generation as we like grow up and become adults?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of consequences. There's evidence that, a lot of kids are not developing the same, like you're just not experiencing the offline world in enough detail that you develop the skills that you need. There's less dating, there's less social in-person social interaction, there's less free play, there's less of a lot of things that we all need in order to sort of develop as fully as we all could, right? Fortunately, I think this is becoming people are becoming aware of this. So I think this doesn't have to be the case, right? So like when you ask me like what is the consequence, my hope is that the story has not been written and the consequence can be undone, right? Like this is right. It doesn't have to be true, right? Like people can people decided to use these products instead of like interacting in the real world, people can decide the opposite and be like, you know what? I don't really need these things. I'm actually going to go out and, take a walk in nature and hang out with my friends without my phone, right? Like you can do all sorts, so people, I think more and more, youth are voluntarily thinking like, that I don't want, just in the same way that like I don't want to eat unhealthy foods, I don't want to read salacious things. Like they want a healthier lifestyle. They want something that feels better, that's more their aspirations. And so I'm hopeful that, that fear actually will become realized.
I recently had to put a lock on my Instagram because I had a test coming up and I just couldn't. I knew I'd get distracted. But what are some steps that students who might not have like a lot of knowledge about the in and outs of technology and psychology in general, what do you think they can do to push for better social media regulation as like just students?
I mean, I think a lot of social media regulation, the motivation for it is to protect kids. And I think just telling your story, telling other kids your story, telling your parents your story, like, I mean, like we shouldn't have products that we need to that are like working against us, right? Like it's weird that like, sometimes I'll talk to kids and I'll ask them, how many of you are trying to use your phones less, or how many of you are trying to use social media less? And there's a fair amount of people who have a similar story to yours where they're trying to use it less, and the products are trying to use it more, which is the same as adults. Like it's the same struggle we all have. And I think we should just advocate for these things to be tools in our lives as opposed to things that are sort of working against us, right? They should be something helping us achieve the things we want, right? Like if you want to focus and concentrate, then we need products that help us focus and concentrate. We don't need products that are trying to pull us away from the things that we think are important.
And sort of on the idea of technology and our products working against us, and this is kind of like a personal question because I find psychology very interesting, but what are some ways that psychology impacts algorithmic design, like when people are designing these algorithms and products?
Yeah, so I mean, incentives are powerful things, right? And so a lot of social psychology is like the power of situations to make people do good or bad things, right? Like we've all been like in a hurry and not been as kind to someone in traffic or in some situation because we were in a hurry, right? And so like situations like being in a hurry or being in competition or, they have powerful effects. So, psychology really affects the way that people use these algorithms. It also affects, and then, algorithms pick up on psychology as well, right? So like algorithms, when we realize that things that are more divisive do better, then it's easy to just slip into that mode and to think that like that's the way to be. And then an algorithm picks up on the fact that people are understanding that divisiveness works, and so the algorithm like feeds more, and so it ends up being a cycle. That and psychology is a huge part of it. The algorithms aren't designed to be divisive or to be more sexual or to be more daring. They're just designed to give us what we pay attention to, and psychology is a lot. Has a lot to say about what we pay attention to.
On the same, I think this might be our final question.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so I have one more question, which is just like ending it on a fun little tip thing. But when you catch yourself, you know that you don't want to be on social media, but you kind of catch yourself in the middle of it. Do you have any tips to avoid or like pull yourself away from that? Because I know a couple of my classmates would turn their phone filter to like black and white just so it's
Heard of
less
that.
distracting. Do you have anything that you like to do for that?
I mean, I have trouble like consciously. It's like if I say, yeah, don't think of a white bear, like you automatically think of a
You
white
think of
bear.
a white bear,
Like trying not to do a thing is harder for me than trying to do something else, right? Trying to distract myself by like, appreciating the things that are that I, like really appreciating food when I eat it, really appreciating to it, really appreciating the company of people and trying to like take the time to really listen to them. I think you can start to pay attention to other things in life as opposed to trying not to use your phone, and perhaps that will get you less in the mind of like, well, what's happening on my phone that I'm missing, if you have something else that you're focusing on. So that's often what I try to do.
think
Well,
that's a
that's
really
really good.
good
Thank you so
answer.
much.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is just about all the questions that we have today. It was really great to talk to
It's so
you.
great.
Yeah, really, really amazing answers. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Yeah, thank you for your interest, and look forward to seeing what you guys do going forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Yeah, have a great
My
day.
pleasure. That's good.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.